Welcome to SAP Transportation Management Podcast. This episode is number 33 about the search provider in the NetWeaver Business Client, a topic we already briefly touched in episode 28. And I'm Thomas from the Order Management team.
Hi, yeah, I'm Leon. I'm a corporate student at SAP, and I'm currently doing a practical phase in this team here.
Hi, I'm Florian. I'm also a cooperative student, and me and Leon developed the TM search.
Yeah, I'm Bernd von Dittrich. I will ask questions again.
I am Dominic. I'm also a cooperative student at SAP, and I am starting my praxis phase here.
I'm David. I'm also a cooperative student at SAP, and I will ask questions too. And I'm
good. So today's topic is a bit special. So normally we always talk about developed and delivered functionality exclusively in our podcast. Oh, by the way, this is a video episode again because it's going to be visual. Ah, we may even wave later. So we have now a video control room here, very fancy. So you may sooner or later see us if we get control over the stuff here. Let's see. So far we concentrate on screen sharing. So today's episode is a bit special because we are talking about something that you could do already today in your system with a little help of your code. So it's not a so far delivered functionality. However, it's so cool that you have to see it and see if you would do it already now in your project. Let's see. In future, there's a very high chance, I would, from today's perspective, assume that we have such a functionality also in standard. However, it's not delivered yet, so we don't know if it will be ever included in our product. That would be great. And why do we do that episode? I think it's a functionality. It's a TM quick search. That's our kind of brand name that can be implemented in any existing TM release when you're using the NetWeaver business client or with, as of 6.0, the SAP business client, not the subnetwork business client. Latest version is out now. So, yeah, long story short, so what are we talking about today?
Yeah, maybe let's give you a brief introduction. We have this big search bar over here on the top of the business client, and the idea is now to just enter some kind of number, either from forwarding orders or freight orders or whatsoever, and maybe Florian can send me a number. And could you send me? No, where's the number?
Ah, you can see us. No, hello. Okay.
Yeah, no.
See, he's full in control here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, here we go. That's, for example, this number here, and just copy it. And then I get the results for this number in our system. This is a forwarding order, and I can directly see the complete document flow and also directly navigate, for example, the freight unit, and can start working from this point on.
Cool. So as a context, so we are now in the NetWeaver business client, which is kind of exactly, prerequisite for that functionality. In, let's say, at least high level, I would say. We maybe come to the exceptions a bit later, correct?
Exactly.
I think that was episode 28, where we discussed in depth the NetWeaver at that time, business client, now business client. It shows me, based on some input, in our example, now a document number, some document links, which I can open, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's what it is. Basically, just some text and some link or URL, whatever you want to call it, for navigation purposes.
Okay.
So we could also go for the real forwarding order we were heading for.
Okay. Why would I use that?
Well, the scenario is having the customer giving you a call about a package or freight which didn't arrive, or he wants a status update on, and then he only has a number or so, and you need to go to the complete menu, having some screens, click forwarding order management and display forwarding order, enter the number, press enter, and then get the results. Probably also navigate to the document flow and go to the freight unit or whatsoever. Mm. So, but now you can just enter the number your customer gives you and directly navigate to where you want to go. This is just cool usability improvement to fast navigation.
Okay, so basically it's about user and user productivity. So you have some reference numbers and you want to navigate to the documents.
Exactly, yes.
Even quicker than you would do it with the traditional ways of navigating, like POWL or the document.
Yes. Of course, yeah.
And you don't have to take care about what number you got. If you got forwarding order, freight order, whatever, you can paste it in the search bar and you will find something.
We could check out this container number, for example. No, I believe we had one. Yes, exactly, there is. And in the ocean booking, we now can see that there is a container here with the number we just entered here.
Okay. That's the container ID, right?
Exactly.
Container number.
Exactly.
And so by entering that container ID, you found that booking and navigated to it. Okay. So I don't even need the document reference number.
No.
I could also use
any numbers. Yeah.
Ah, so this is kind of magic, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we analyze the input string for which kind of number we have in front of us, and then delegate this to the specific query. That's basically how it works.
Okay. So I think from a functionality or usage point of view, anything else that we should mention? So how to use it? I think it's pretty, that's a good, cool feature if you can demo it in like 3 minutes. A good time, right? So pretty simple. Is there anything else you should know about the functionality of it?
Maybe we can show the result page.
So far, we always had one hit. Is that a design thing that you would only find one document with a document flow, or would it structurally be also possible to have 23 or 42 hits, for example?
So that depends on what you want to search for. So if you have a full number, you might expect only one search result and the document flow. And if you want to use a wildcard, then we can also show multiple results. But for our case, we just concentrated on the simple case where you have the full number and just enter it into the search bar.
So assuming I would have that same container number in another booking, would I only see one booking then? Or I used that same container twice, three times.
Got your point. No, you would see every booking.
Oh, maybe we can try it. Huh? Do we have another booking and then enter? Just seeing how it feels with multiple hits. Or do we have another example for maybe copy the booking?
Copy the booking. Yeah, this is a good idea. Maybe.
Is this a local container?
If not, we make it a local. So just you know that we see what it looks like if we have multiple hits.
Yeah. Let's see. Do we have a container here? No.
So, it's okay. So then maybe go to the equipment view of the ocean booking. So up here, and then the items,
Items, okay.
That would be my question. If you know, would go to the details of the item into the equipment tab.
Genau.
And
at the end of the container, the same container number. What would happen?
Oh, enter it as container, not as container number, because otherwise it's going to be treated as plate number.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So that's the container ID, right?
Container ID and resource.
So,
and now you can just drop the number again. And
you get both ocean bookings.
Okay, and since they are so specific, we don't even need a description for the booking, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's just a so far, it's just a demo. That's why. So it's nothing delivered. Okay.
Yeah, Yes, exactly. This is the first one, and I believe now if you go for the second hit, then this is the second one.
Okay.
This is exactly the sound if you want. This
okay. One. But normally I would also see a description for both hits, right?
Of course.
Normally yes. You should see a description for both
hits. At least you would see the number of the new ocean bookings.
Obviously, it was very confusing, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So structurally, you can also have multiple hits, but if you have only one hit, then you also include the document flow.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. This is also to not confuse the customer with multiple document flows and also having the other way load not raising.
Okay, good. So if I want, you convinced me, so I want such a search. What would I need to do as of today? So let's say in future, we may have that out of the box. But today, I think I have to do something for it, right? There's no magic, unfortunately. So it needs to be coding instead and configuration. So what do I have to do?
So first of all, you need to know that SAP business client or now business client is only something else like a browser. So in a usual browser, you can enter so-called search providers. Mm-hmm. And the search provider gives you the functionality to search with an URL on a specific web page or in a database, whatever, like for Amazon, Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what we did here as well. So you can enter a search provider.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is something I do locally in the business client in first place, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Either that or add an entry to a PFCG role.
Maybe we come to that then later.
Yes, okay.
Okay. In the first place, now if I want to add it, I add an entry here. Okay. So what does it contain? So it's a URL.
Looks fancy. Basically, you only have the URL, and this URL then delivers a so-called open search description document to the NetVue business client on request. And this is, as the name says, then completely following the open search standard, which also is used by Chrome, Firefox, etc. So you could also enter Google or Amazon or Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
They also provide such open search description documents. So if you want, you can also add Wikipedia to this search bar, for example. Yeah.
But who would like to do it if you can have the TM quick search?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. I see. Okay. So it's following open search standard. That's interesting. We made it, I think it's also relevant. We come to alternative usages later.
Exactly. Yeah.
Following standards is always a good idea. Okay, we have some other parameters in the URL, but I think we come to that later. So basically, I need to create an entry here, but most likely creating entry here is a nice thing, but wouldn't do anything, right? So there must be something behind that entry, I'm afraid.
Of course, yeah. This entry needs to call then the system, of course, again.
Okay.
And in the system, maybe we can show up the, where should we start?
Yes.
The ABAP coding?
No, I would start with the internet communication framework. So
which that was transaction SICF, right?
SICF, yes, exactly.
Okay.
And then there's one new web service.
So you have to navigate there, and then maybe for those of you on the audio part only. So you create an entry in the SICF.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and what do I have to define there? It's,
well, in our system, only the handler list, but maybe if you're not using single sign on, also you need to provide some logon data.
Okay.
Or something else.
Okay, so you have.
Sure about that.
I see. So you have the basic path is default host and sub BC, which you see, I think, all over the place, right? Also,
exactly.
If you have in all other TM URLs, then you give it the service a name. In our examples, would be TM_quick_search. And then behind that, in the handler list, there's a class. That is the magic. So if we maybe go back to the URL that you entered, maybe let's see if we can match that together.
That again, yeah.
The first part is really the system and support, right? And after that, it's exactly that same path, right?
Exactly. Yes. Starting here. This is the path in the ICF. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
There's also a function where you can check out this path, which is called test service in this SICF.
Okay. And there we can go here and press
test service, and then you'll also get the URL of the SICF service you just created.
Okay, the complete one. Ah, that you then copy this guy up to the into your good hint. I learned. Again, what learned?
Yeah, of course.
As the German says. We try to speak English here. Okay. Good. So that is the connection. So now I think I understood from a business client through the SICF entry to a class.
Exactly.
Do I need some coding in a class or is it enough to have that class as such?
Well, unfortunately, it's not just magic again coding. Happening then. Yeah, you
coding
have
again.
Some coding. Mm-hmm. Maybe we
sorry should. Listeners, I tried it, right? But
yeah, unfortunately the magic
not enough magic
on at the moment.
Oh, you're even using the search bar for the ABAP search. Nice.
Yes, of course. Yeah. So, a lot of other possibilities to extend the search and having new ones. So yes, basically this is the handler class.
So now we go into the class that we have entered in the SICF.
Okay. Exactly. Good. And as you can see, we implement this IF HTTP extension interface.
Okay.
Which provides a handler request method.
Yeah, and that is the starting point, right? This is where it all begins.
The starting point, and this is where you are. At the moment, you are completely free to do whatever you want. Yeah, so basically you could also create new documents with this or whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah, and you get called by NWBC or Network Business Client, the URL you just entered, and you can add parameters to that URL, which get passed along to this web service.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the results you respond then should follow the open search standard so that your business client can then handle them.
Mm-hmm.
But in theory, you could also respond whatever you want.
Okay.
There's also no need to respond. So
that's a good point. So end to end. So if we are calling now the code, maybe we can set a breakpoint here and just see from a very high level what does arrive and what do we respond without looking into the details. And that's a good starting point to understand it. If
we
just
maybe then we should.
The breakpoint at the very beginning.
Yeah, at the very beginning.
At the very beginning, where it all starts.
It all starts, yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay.
So if you now type in something, I think based on some magic.
Paste in. Yeah.
Shouldn't make a difference, right?
Well, you would start the debugger with only half a number, and then you wouldn't see much return. So,
okay, good.
Maybe we can jump.
Maybe it's also an interesting point. So, when is this class called?
This class is starting to get called when the beginning of typing.
So, at typing, kind of 1 or 2 seconds after, or half seconds?
You need to differentiate between the call times. There are multiple call times. One is when, at the time, the network business client starts up, or you enter a new URL to the search provider, then network business client already calls the service, and you need to respond with the open search description document.
That's more the kind of setup phase, right?
Exactly, setup. Mm-hmm. And this open search description we maybe see later on, or you can research the standard, then provides the network business plan with multiple URLs or URIs, to be more exactly, where the network business client or which link it should call to get, for example, those drop-down suggestions or where the result page is, how to build the complete URL with all the search terms entered and whatsoever, any additional parameters you want to pass.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
the URL, okay. We come to that later, I think, right?
Exactly. And then are the times the service is called when you enter some input into the search bar of network business client, then
Okay. But as soon as you're registered there, you will be called if the search profile is active with the input that is typed in as soon as the user starts typing. And again, if there are more characters typed in,
if the open search description is valid, then you will be called.
Okay.
This needs to be mentioned, yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, so what do we get now? So far we get a call. And first thing I think is we have somehow to get the information what has been entered by the user.
Yes, exactly. And we are also extracting some more information from the URL we are called with from the server.request object. And then we can get form fields, which are basically parameters passed through the via the URL. So maybe we can just execute this and see what we got so far. I think there's a request query field. Yes, exactly. So we extracted the field name. Okay, we're using constants here, but the field's name Q in the URL. So basically in the URL, if you remember, from the search providers, then there's just basically an ampersand and Q equals...
I don't remember. Can you show me?
Search providers. Like here. Yeah, we have here ampersand and then the attribute name and then equals a value.
Yeah.
And all those attributes we can extract again at this point. They get passed along to us. And basically, you don't see the Q field here because this is something which is defined in the open search description document where to add the field. Yeah.
I see. So it's a kind of a convention that you would receive it. It's not a convention. Your open search provider said that the input field should be the Q.
Exactly. Okay. We said, the input should be passed to the Q field.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. And then we can extract it here again.
And that is your CS form field dash query field, right? That's a constant structure, form field. Okay, Q, I see. And that next one, the stop at thing, just as an example, would be?
You mean this one?
Yeah. Stop at hit. Okay, and that was one of the parameters that we also saw in the URL, right?
Yes, exactly. This was one of the parameters. Maybe we can get to this later.
I just wanted to pass so you can ask, with that technique here, get server request, get form field. You get the content of a certain URL parameter.
Exactly,
right?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not that you get a long string with all the characters and you would kind of go through it, but there's a more structured way to extract the data.
Yeah, URL parsing is already done for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Dear system. Good. Okay.
Okay, then depending on the type field we also requested, we decide what we want to respond to the NetView Business Client.
Yeah. The type field is document type or what type is it?
Type field, no. For example, if we want suggestions or if we want result page or if we want the
open search description. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So the NWBC is always calling the same interface but with different request types, right? So for the setup phase, it would be the open search.
Exactly. You can see that in the search provider's URL again. Here we have the type field after the path, after the service path, we have the type field, which is equal to open search description. And then we would case it out here to the open search description we want to deliver.
Okay.
But you could also imagine having multiple web servers doing this implementation, one for search description, one for suggestions or whatsoever. And then you need to define in the search description the correct URLs to the right service.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But we all did it in one.
Yeah, it made sense to us.
Yeah. So we did it all in one place. Okay. What's next?
Yeah, then
let's take a look at the request type, maybe. So,
request type, we are at the suggestions in XML format. And maybe we can jump to that and just take a look at how we get the results, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we now already executed the real search, so analysis of the input, executing the query, the Bob query we're using, and then converting this to an XML file. We can hopefully see.
Maybe through the HTML browser.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So we are now in the debugger and detail display and went with the HTML browser view, which makes that result XML string
quite nice,
even colorful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's something's pretty nice in our debugger.
You can spend hours looking at it and enjoying it.
Okay, so basically, this is also following the search standard.
Yeah.
For suggestions, so you have the search suggestions tag and inside the query tag containing the input query you executed, so what the user entered into the search bar, and then you respond with a lot of item tags containing the search suggestions.
Okay.
So in our case, real search results with a text and a URL for navigation purposes.
Okay, and as our bookings are so clear, we decided that Ocean Booking is enough as a...
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay, it's a bug now, right? Okay, and what is the difference between the text and the description here? Is there any? I mean, obviously it's the one and two thing, but...
In that regard, business client, I think you can't see the description.
Okay.
So you only see what's written in the text here.
Exactly. Okay. This is something the standard asks you to provide. So we provided it, although NetBeer Business Client does not use it.
Okay.
Yeah. So just being the nice guy.
Okay. And also it's much more enjoyable now here in the debugger, having one more nice line. Okay. And then you have an URL URI. Okay, that looks a bit special. So maybe... It's not a traditional kind of URL, right? So what is defined here?
Yeah, basically this is for OBN navigation, some specialty from NetBeer Business Client.
OBN stands for?
Object-based navigation.
Ah, thank you.
And yeah, this is used all the way in TM.
Yeah.
And this is... you know, when you click on a result from the suggestions drop down and NWPC parses the URL you want to navigate to and then checks out, okay, this is LSOBN, so I can handle this myself and do not ask the Trident engine, which is used for website rendering.
Okay. Otherwise, it would just open any website and that way, exactly. But no, I'm still in the system, or I'm in the system, and then...
Theoretically, we could also pass HTTP //google.com or whatever, and then navigate to Google if you want.
Okay. So you can also generate some, what's it called? So affiliate links, huh? Is that?
probably, we could also do that, yeah.
Well, but you wouldn't do it, right? So... Okay, I see. So basically, the input is you get all the input, the one retype into the search bar, plus some parameters defined in the search provider URL, that we will look into later. And the result is an XML string or JSON object.
Yeah, JSON is also possible. Yeah.
Where you have items. And those items have a text description and then an URL, and that URL might be a bit special for that, let's say, object-based navigation.
Exactly,
we come maybe later to how to get that URL, right? Hopefully it's not, you have to hand code everything. Okay.
Somewhat between.
Okay. Good. So
I believe there's nothing more interesting, just some error handling, and in the end, responding what we already have. The important part is to also set the content type field of the HTTP request or no response. So the network business plan knows what he's responded and then compares this to what he expected based upon the open search description file. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure we pass along XML, text XML here as MIME type.
Because our result is XML and not JSON, for example.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. So you also, for usage in other clients, we maybe get later on to, it's very important to have this setup right, correct MIME type.
Okay, so. I see. Good, I think high level, that's it. But maybe it makes sense to really dive a bit deeper to see how do you do the magic within the class that we jumped over, right? So how do I find my document? I mean, maybe that's the easy part, at least for me. I think that's the easy part. But also then how to create that navigation links, maybe also how to identify. Maybe we should spend some words on how to identify. Is it a container ID or what kind of document is it actually, right? So maybe we can spend some words on that.
So maybe we can start with the open search description again, because just show it and show what it does for us. Mm-hmm. And
That's also something that we, how would I, you said at the very beginning, you are asked for open search description, the initialization phase, so to say. So what do I have to define here?
We can maybe check this out in the debugger again. We just remove this. Maybe recognize the minimum letters equals 3 parameter, and the type field being open search description.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get, you see, as I mentioned before, NWBC does ask us for the open search description. So we again extract all the parameters.
So this time it's not the, what was it last time? The search, the suggestion?
Yeah, we can check out.
Last time it was type. Suggestions XML, and now it's
open search description. I see. Yeah.
And obviously the query parameter, so the Q field is empty because there is no Q field. NWBC just calls the URL we entered.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we go into this method where we build up the open search description, looks a bit
pretty.
looks quite ugly, but basically what we do here is, as I mentioned before, building the URLs, telling NWBC where to check out suggestions, result page, whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And here you can see our little trick to get NWBC call you again with those parameters like minimum letters we entered before.
Mm-hmm.
We just pass them along to the new URLs for suggestions. So the suggestions URL also contains this parameter field with the same value.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little trick, probably. So we don't remember ourselves which parameter were passed. So, but NWBC does because of the open search description. Oh yeah, no. I hope they are not escaped too hard, so we can check them out. Yeah, as you can see now, we have built a URL also based on system link, then again the path and type field, in this case result. And here we have the minimum letters field equaling 3.
That is something that you return as the default now, right?
How do you mean as the default?
Was it entered in the...
Yes, it was entered. Okay. So we can also look here. Minimum letters request was 3. So also the stop at field wasn't entered, so it's blank. And also in the URL, I believe we saw it was blank.
Ah, I see. Okay, so you pass the input and then also send it back again.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. That's a trick. Okay.
The only thing we add here is this Q field with the search term placeholder, which then gets replaced with the real search term.
Okay. Search terms placeholder, is that something must exactly follow that naming convention? So it must be a search term? Or is that something really...
This is specified by the standard.
Okay.
And so it's just called search term and curly brackets. And that's how it is.
Okay.
And yeah, then we again build an XML. And maybe you can check also this out in HTML browser. And so there's nothing really special about this, just also following the standard convention where you can specify a name, input encoding, and a few other fields. And the important magic is now the different URL fields, where you can specify the URL, which should be called. And in the back, or at the far end of the tag, there's a type field where you specify the MIME type of what you get there.
The input, MIME type of the input.
No, the MIME type of the output, what you get when you call this URL.
Ah, okay.
With the search term, yeah. So in this case, the first URL would be a MIME type text HTML, so pointing to the result page.
Ah, result.
The second one, type is application x-suggestions plus XML, means, okay, we get suggestions in XML format, or the last one for suggestions in JSON format.
Okay, but we used as a result in our example before the XML format.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about that as well, because for NetWeaver Business Client, XML suggestions are used by default. So if you have both XML and JSON, NetWeaver Business Client uses XML. The question may be, why do we even provide JSON? So the standard the new standard is that you only provide JSON. So there's no standard anymore for suggestions in XML, but only in JSON.
Okay.
Although there are many websites still using it, and NWVC as well.
Also the latest version.
Also the latest version, although JSON is now understandable for NWVC as well.
So, okay.
Yeah, exactly. As previously, you have seen the suggestions XML value for the type field. So again, there is the connection between all that.
Okay. And then suggestion JSON. Okay, I see. Good. Good.
Okay, yeah. And this is all the magic of the open search description. So there's no more specialties about that. So we can just execute the rest. Maybe then. And You had many questions before. Maybe you can.
Don't you remember them?
No, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Me too. No. Okay. So I think this is the setup phase and how we respond to that original request. Of course. Now I think it would be interesting to see. I mean, we now skipped that whole part where we interpreted the input and created that already OBN. Formatted results, so maybe we should at least dive into that one a bit, maybe not completely, to get an idea. So what do I need to do with that input? Yeah,
maybe that's a curious slide. Maybe a small picture where you can show.
That would be great if you just could have a small picture on it. Oh,
yeah,
comes in handy.
We prepared a nice graph, maybe. Okay. Yeah. Maybe you want to go over it, Florian?
Yeah, of course. So first of all, the web service is called. That's what we've seen the last 30 minutes. The web service, which gets the server object by the interface, and then extract the parameters and the search term. And what we didn't see is the search class, which in this example is this SCMTMSCL quick search class. And this gets called by the web servers with the query we got, and then tries to analyze the query. That is what is meant by the term match pattern. Mm-hmm. So we try to evaluate, is it a container number, a ULD number, or whatever. And out of that, we try to build the query parameters and execute a query. The query we use are also used, for example, in the POWL and many other places. And if we find something, the web service gets the result and pass it to XML or for the result page into an HTML page, and then the user gets the result.
But the query class, the one in the middle, the CL quick search class, would already do that generation of the OBN links, and then the
the quick search provider class just give information about the results for
it's just a very generic search.
Okay, so what would it return exactly?
It would return you a table of somewhat metadata, like what's the document ID, who did last change it, what's the category, and some more data, and also you could receive the result table from the query, but conversion into URLs or extraction of description text or whatsoever is done by the web service again to have those parts completely separated.
Okay. So I think then we should now look a bit deeper into that quick search query class itself, right? So that is where also part of the magic is.
Then let's check it out. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can use our cool ABAP search again. Oh, come on. I should remove that breakpoint.
So it's also called for ABAP terms, right? So that's an interest. Maybe also something that you should consider.
Yeah.
Any input entered up there will give you a call, right?
Exactly, yeah. Search. Then we want to go.
That's why looking into the input and seeing, okay, is that my target group kind of input is very important at the very beginning, right? That we don't start to search for, with our TM search for other classes or so.
This is very important to analyze the input string if you can. Do something with it, not just pass it to the query. Man, shut down your phones, guys. Shut down your phones.
That was me. Very important.
Our phone's going crazy here.
Yeah. Good.
Okay, so basically, this is the entry point here we got from the.
So we're now in the
search class.
Search class, not in the query so far.
Exactly. We are in the search class doing the analyzing stuff, and as seen on the graph before, there are three distinctive steps. First is to match the patterns we defined. Second is how to convert the patterns to query parameters. And third is to execute the query with the requested attributes.
Okay. But this is now already something, let's say, totally independent from the open search standard. That is now how you decided to do it, right?
Exactly,
The outer layer, that is the open search dependent part.
Yes, yes, yes.
And in here, it could be
anything. Yeah, you could do whatever you want. You get some input, so do what you want and respond something.
Okay.
So,
good.
You just need to consider runtime, maybe. Yeah, okay. I don't know how much in detail we should go over that.
Maybe we debug it step by step, and maybe at least looking at the results of the steps, so that we set a breakpoint here now, enter something again, and then we see at least what is that step we're doing.
Container number.
Maybe take the URL.
It's getting boring now.
Okay.
The same container number. Okay.
It's okay. Take another number.
Not too boring.
Not too boring.
So as input, we just get this container number.
Yeah.
And then the first step is converting this.
That's the first step. Okay. Converting it into an empty table.
An empty table.
Okay. That sounds simple.
So the problem now is that we have different search classes, and the first search class being called wasn't that one who found the result. We're using many queries. A query also has its own search class, and
Okay. So maybe that's now an interesting point. So we have different objects in TM, right? So we have
Tor, TRQ, TRQ.
For example, CPS. So a lot of different objects. So how is that mapped into that search? So how would I know where I, because now I think the search class we are in here now, is it already object specific or will it search all the TM objects?
Well, this is like a super class having the algorithm and the definition of how pattern looks, how a TRQ ID looks, or how a Tor ID looks, or how a container number looks, is done in some subclasses.
Okay.
Which provide then some configuration to the algorithm then, basically.
Okay. And now we are in the incarnation as a TRQ or because we have no result, right? So that means this is no meaningful input for that specific.
Well, I already skipped far enough to get a result, So okay. We are in the right search class by now, which can handle container numbers.
Okay, but to get it right, so I would have a list of instances of that search class.
Yeah.
Once per relevant query.
So to say. Query, okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one-to-one relation to one query class, one search class for one query.
Okay, so that is, but this is again not defined by OpenSearch or something, but this is
this was decided by us, yes.
Okay.
So maybe we can take a look into the result we got from the first step.
Yeah.
And we now found a pattern called container number. And it had a value, which is obviously the thing we just entered.
Looks familiar, yeah.
Okay, now this is then converted into a real query parameter.
Okay.
We need to get here. Yeah, exactly. So here's the real attribute then. So for the pattern container number, there was a definition of conversion, how to convert it into a real query parameter. And we mapped the value, which is in the low field, to the attribute Tourist ID.
Okay. So there is some, we found based on the input that this might be a container ID.
Yes,
that is defined in that, what was it called? The
extract from CST.
And the container ID name that was our pattern ID. Okay,
yes,
so,
yes,
okay. And based on the pattern ID container number,
yes.
Constant kind of thing, we then find, okay, if we have that pattern, then we use this query attribute.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, from the first step on, we already identified it as a container number. Now we only map it to the right parameter.
Just very high level, how do you identify it as a container number?
Well, this is where regular expressions come in handy.
Okay.
So we made a regular expression which matches or should match container numbers.
So basically, so one step in a good search should be to try to identify that. And you did that with regular expressions where it's okay, container numbers are following a certain pattern, so I can clearly say if something is a valid container number or not.
Yes.
And you do that also for other input where you say, okay, that might be a document number or not.
Well, yeah, you need to see, you need to map it to a query parameter, so you have no choice. You need to identify to which parameter to map it to. So for a container number, this is pretty easy because there's always four letters and then seven digits, I believe.
Something like that.
Yeah, as defined by some standard. And so this is structurally easily to detect by regular expressions.
It might not always be the case, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then you map it to a query parameter, okay?
Okay.
That's the next step, but that sounds simple. So I have a list of mapping from if it's this kind of input, then use this query parameter kind of thing, right?
Exactly. Okay. More or less, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe we can jump into the query to see some details about that.
Maybe one on there. So, maybe you want to get a talk.
Okay, so what happened? So this is a method from the superclass. The write query is instantiated and then executed.
Well, where does this query come from, this write query?
This is a setting in the constructor of the subclass. Where you set which query needs to be executed and which fields do you want to have and things like that.
Yeah, as we said before, there's a one-to-one relation between queries and search classes.
And we instantiate as many search classes as we have kind of sub-searches, right?
Yeah.
With the respective parameters. So if I search for with a Tor query attributes, once at least, then I have that search class. If I search for TRQ, I have another search class.
Exactly,
and every search, but in principle, I could also have another one again for Tor, but maybe doing a different mapping from the input to the query.
Attributes.
That is, again, our specific implementation here, the way that we handle it. You could, in principle, also do all everything within one class, but the design decision here was to do it within different classes to have more reuse and more generic coding and have more.
Yes.
Okay.
So
good decision.
So some basic settings I made, like how many rows need to be extracted, and set the sorting options, which is also based on the query parameters.
Ah, yeah, we can do a shameless plug. Episode 31, right? Was about Bob.
Yeah.
TM podcast, episode 31 was about Bob. Very in-depth, we're talking about query and query parameters and all that stuff. So you should know that if you listen to episode 31. Or anyway, maybe you should know it. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a normal Bob query, which means all the authorization stuff is all built in. So,
Everything is handled by a bot.
So it's not a good idea to do a select here, for example, because then you would bypass the authority concept.
Right? If you want, you could do that.
But who would want to do that?
Yeah.
Because if you do that, you bypass the security checks that you have built in the queries. So you would, you may not be open to document, but you would know that this document is there, which is already a violation of security principles. Yeah. So you use a query here. Okay.
So
exactly.
Good.
So we get the query results. In this case, hopefully there are two results.
Yeah.
We can check this out. Yes. Yeah, okay.
Two results.
And what we then do is to add a description to these results. Therefore, we use a description helper, which returns us a description by getting the information we already extracted from the query.
Something like booking, right?
Yeah. In this case, something like booking. Normally, you would see a bit more, but you see your description text is only ocean booking this time.
Okay.
And this is the interesting table also for the web service later on, which only contains necessary metadata, like description text, the O category, the keynote key, the OP, to build the link, navigation
link. The OBN link that we saw before,
right? Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Or the HTTP link, if you get the result page.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. If you want, you could also receive the complete query table of all the parameters you wanted, but for the web service, this is not important.
Maybe one performance hint here. So if you build your own query like that, you should always call the query with the requested attributes to be sure that only the relevant data is get from the database and also post-processed in a database. Yeah? So that's you should not leave the requested attributes empty, but because typically you would only need few fields, the ID, the key, and maybe two more type, maybe kind of things, but not first and last location. And
so
you should consider requested attributes here.
I believe the B key and the O category is everything which is necessary
in our case here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
maybe the description or so.
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Yeah. So maybe we can show how we build the links now as we got the information.
Yes, why not?
So we are now leaving the search class, the dark blue space, is that right?
And yes.
We are back in our search provider, so the web service.
Now we are back in the web service again. Sorry for that.
Yep.
But yeah, we got in this table. Yes, we got two results. Now we are checking whether to build the doc flow. But obviously, for two results, it doesn't make that much sense. So we skip this one and then decide based upon the pipe field we saw ways before. In which format to deliver the results of the search. Yeah, maybe in this case.
So it'd be a suggestion XML, which we saw before, Y, right?
Exactly, yeah. Maybe should we go about how we built this XML?
Maybe a bit that we know how to get that OBN thing, which I think gets a bit special.
Over it, yeah. Well,
and we have to clear because it was CV something. Do we have to clear the parameter or no?
Not that important. I believe just the URL is good in the beginning, so maybe we can leave the rest out. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
First step. We call here a function of a basic navigation class of transport management, which is also used if you see the usual document flow to navigate to other business objects.
Mm-hmm.
And we give in our metadata. We have the OP, the DB key category, and receive a target application, which is needed for the WebDevPro.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's for freight booking, so SMTRE book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Next thing we do is extract this and replace the slashes with dots, I think.
More or less,
if it's working. So we got now the object-based navigation target out of the target application. And now the next step is to create the URL based on this OBN target.
Okay, I see. Mm-hmm. So really handcrafted.
Yeah, handcrafted, so no helpers for that.
Unfortunately, no helpers for that one, yes.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe some no helpers we are aware of. Okay.
maybe like that, yeah.
Okay.
And then only some additional parameters for the WebDevPro application we're trying to start are appended. And this is the whole magic. So there's again a parameter. %26 means 10%. skip initial screen equals X and OBN parameters equals key equals the key.
The document that's the key of this document that you found.
Exactly. Yes.
For that first booking. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this is how we build the link for every result.
Mm-hmm.
And now we create the XML.
Sorry.
Based on the description we got out of the search class, the URL.
But we didn't get a description out of the search class, did we?
We got ocean booking already.
You mentioned this again. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah.
So that
one is also returned by the query, so to say, because the query is getting the data. I see. Okay. Hmm?
Good. Yeah, we can see that here.
Yeah, I trust you.
Ocean booking.
Maybe.
I don't think we need to go.
But that's the principle. Then some more.
Yeah.
Just escaping some XML string concatenation stuff.
Hmm. Yeah.
That anybody knows anyway, so no need to go.
Yeah, we saw the results before, so yeah. I don't think there's need to go over the
concatenation. Oh, over that obvious part, right? Yeah.
And if you're not showing your XML or JSON or whatever as well, and there are various online tools to check that out. So
yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So now we build the XML in the format which was requested based upon the search results. Define the MIME type, as mentioned before, very important. And then deliver this to the NWPC as response.
Okay.
So,
that's it, right?
That's it, yeah.
That's it. Good. One more question I have. So we already saw that we have multiple search providers up there. And they are all called, we learned it. Are they called subsequently or in parallel or?
They're called in parallel. Okay. So if you enter something, every search provider is called. So what you've seen when Leon entered the number, also the ABAP search gets called because NWPC doesn't decide which search provider is now called.
It's just calling all of them, and yeah. Then the search provider
have to decide whether
very early need to decide if he's potentially a target of that call or not.
Of course, yeah.
And that's very important to do that interpretation very early to avoid if somebody, for example, navigates to the menu and enters Frey doc or something, they do not start a query with that or so.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is, of course, sometimes not so easy to know if that is a valid input.
On yeah, the yeah, this is a lot of times not quite easy to
decide. I think you could even write a thesis about it, right? About that interpretation.
Yeah, maybe.
Somebody should do that, huh? So, good. So they are called parallel. So in principle, when I could also implement one, let's say, forwarding order search and one freight document, freight booking search or so, and enter two search providers here for the two different searches. And then it would call both of them in parallel, which is of course faster, but also duplicates the database load.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And it would then show up as two entries.
As two different search providers, yes. There's a small title, you enter it in the search provider description. And that's what we would see.
Yeah, maybe you can see that if I just go for the ABAP search and then we see our TM search response with no results found and we get the result of the ABAP search.
Okay.
So that's not something like this.
Booking then as a result, no?
Yeah.
So it's not hard coded, obviously. Good. Good. It's called in parallel. Maybe we should also talk about some of the other parameters that we've seen and coming to performance considerations. I think a lot of them are performance-based. So I think a very important thing is to avoid unnecessary database a lot because typically a database can be the bottleneck. There's only one database instance in your landscape, so we should not flood the database with unnecessary requests. So what are we doing to avoid those unnecessary queries?
So first of all, in this implementation, we decided to go for only equal. So you need the full number, for example, if you want to search for a number, you need to enter the full number. So we don't need to present hundreds of results.
No wildcards.
No wildcards.
Yeah. Because there was also the feedback that we got, right? Either you have a number or not, you wouldn't come
exactly.
With
exactly. If you have 1,000 bookings in your system and you type in 6-1 wildcard, then wouldn't help at all. So we need the full number. Then we got some two parameters used for performance optimization. The first is minimum letters. So in what you've seen is that the search provider gets called with any letter. And we decided that a search doesn't make sense with like two letters or something like that. So we can define at what number of letters the search is going to start, and that's what you can enter in the URL.
That's again one of those. Maybe we can look into those parameters.
Of course, yeah.
Maybe it makes sense even better than the ABAP search results. So yeah. That is the minimum letters or minimum characters, actually, right? So how many?
Yeah, minimum characters.
Characters would if it's less than three or less or three.
Less than three.
Yeah. So then it's only three. It would already start searching, which is already early, I would say. In the real world, so now that's nope. It's
yes. Yeah, you would then set it to 8.
Yeah, something like 8, 10, okay. Something around there.
Okay, that already sounds good. What else do we have?
So what you also saw in our debugging session, we have multiple queries being called, and therefore we got a function which is called stop at hit. The case this depends on that numbers in the system are only given once to a business object, usually. And so if you found something, you don't really need to execute the rest of the queries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, if you found something, stop executing queries and just return the result. And therefore, we go to stop at hit functionality.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't write it correctly, maybe.
Well, it shouldn't work in this case because the same query finds two ocean bookings and they're not found by different ocean bookings.
Yeah, maybe that's the idea is not to find only exactly one hit, right? But only do one query.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's it.
Oh, okay, maybe we could also interpret it in a way that we also maximum number of results should be one. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. So okay. This is meant only one query executed, not one hit found.
Okay. So it would stop after it found it as a TIQ, and it wouldn't look for that same number if it might be an TOR booking number or something.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, good.
And there was one more. You can also, okay, that's very specific to our implementation. I think you can also restrict it to a certain search class, meaning search BO, right?
Meaning query, not meaning BO, but one
query
of BO. So, for example, we have a search class for the container ID, which is called Big Search Ocean.
And yeah, maybe we should give another example to reduce it to the container.
So, maybe Air.
Okay,
so we have another class called the Quick Search Air to search for ULD numbers in an air booking.
So maybe now we can again put in that same container number, so it shouldn't find something because there's no air booking for it, right?
Maybe first. Yeah. Okay. Maybe at first the container
negative number test. Was. Positive test is always simple.
And yes.
No results. Result beautiful.
No results found. So we now said that we only want this one query for air, and not the ocean one, and we only find so we find an air booking with the specific ULD number.
Okay.
This is also for database.
And also maybe to not confuse people, if they always only expect to see or only want to look into forwarding orders, there's no point in showing freight documents settlement documents to them, even so the hit might work. Okay, I think the only missing part here, and maybe we should only touch it briefly because it's not that important, I think is what you call the result page, right? So you mentioned it sometimes, and we saw it also in the coding. So maybe you can add a few words on that result page.
Maybe I just remove the parameter again, and we can show the result page maybe once. Already talk about it.
Yeah, maybe it's enough to mention it. I think it's maybe not a requirement.
Basically, it's just the representation of the drop down and some nice
one page. To avoid that, because all of those searches that you define will also show up as a search as kind of thing, and then you need to have a result page, but so far. More of a side result, I would say. I mean, the real help. And the only aspect where this result page becomes more important is that search outside the NWBC, right?
Yes.
Where
yes,
we
yes.
only have that. So maybe just mentioning, I think in principle, you can also use that open search description and create a search provider for Internet Explorer, Chrome.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So first of all, what regarding the result page, you're totally free what you're going mm-hmm. for here. We decided to go for an easy UI5 application, just with a tree table and showing the results as in the drop down. So with the right indention and also scrolling function if you have many results. To talk about the browser, there you can also install this in the browser because it's nothing else than a usual search provider. Mm-hmm. And there you would also see the same result page as you can see here in NetBeaver Business Client.
But you don't have that fancy suggestion.
You can have this fancy suggestion stuff as well.
Okay.
Most browsers only want JSON nowadays mm-hmm. because this is an official supported one. That's why we also offer it. We are not so far what it goes to implementation, so we can't say which browser is now supported and which mm-hmm. not. Mm-hmm. We just tested with the newest version of Chrome and it worked for us.
Mm.
Okay. But then I think you always would have to return a real URL because I think that OBN navigation is something so far not known to Chrome, right?
Yes, of course.
Maybe yeah. something special about the URL. You need to build HTTP mm-hmm. and you need to add some special parameters for this
That's
case.
How it works.
Yeah, to find the open sub business client session. So it's going to open in a new tab, hopefully.
That's a bit tricky and doesn't want to go off here right now.
Maybe it's a business plan 6, that's fine.
Maybe, yeah. So I had it working yesterday in business plan 6 already, but let's see. Well, yeah. Okay, so.
At the moment, not.
Not working, but possible, so.
Mm. Okay. Good.
Yeah, I have another question. Could you again search for something with a document flow and show the suggestions? So there are always numbers at the beginning. Do they have a meaning?
Yes, this is because unfortunately NetBeaver Business Client does reorder the search results in alphanumeric ways. And because we want the doc flow to be the way we deliver it, we just added some prefix numbers to keep the order the way we say it is right.
Okay. So they are just so that it looks fancy and they don't have a meaning.
Yes. They don't have a concrete meaning. Yes, this is just to keep the doc flow order correct.
Which has a meaning.
I think if it would be
randomly sorted here,
of course.
That would be confusing. But the number itself is just a running counter, kind of.
Yes, of course.
And you easily see the number of hits also. So
this is also
count them.
Nice side hint, yeah.
Okay. Anything else that we should know about it? So maybe about how to get this. I mean, there's so far that is something that we test developed in our environment, so there is no decision on us delivering that as a standard content. However, if we will deliver the classes here, then of course I will let you know through the common channels, and most likely would also, I think at least, that we may deliver it also with the future releases. We may downport the classes themselves to lower releases if you're interested. If you're in urgent need, you most may get in contact with us and we may help you on a project basis that you don't have to recode that stuff here. One thing we forgot to talk about, or I stopped you talking about, sorry, that was the we entered the search provider now manually in the business plan. I think you already started mentioning that it's also possible somewhere else, right? Yes. So that I don't have to do it for every business plan user again and again.
Yeah, which would be crazy, yes.
Yeah.
So in the PFCG, you can add a user role to distribute the search provider to every single user.
Okay.
Then I believe he can deactivate it, maybe, but he cannot change anything in it.
Yeah. Okay. What would that look like? Do we have an example for such an entry?
Yeah, it would look exactly like those pretty finds from favorite recent items or so. So you cannot change this.
Huh? No, I mean, do we have an example of such a role, PFCG role, including that what it would look like, or?
Maybe we have one remaining example. Not sure about that. Do we have set search or something like that? Was it? Yeah. Nope.
Okay. So there's a node in it which is called add search add.
Maybe in the design document we can have a link. Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So you have this node add search add in it and an entry with a text, so what the search provider, the name from the description we got in the search provider manual definition, and then the same address, but in this case a relative URL, and that then available in the role, and the role can be assigned to, as you know, to end user.
Good. Anything else? So we talked about also how to get it, how to implement it roughly.
Maybe just a small point to the internet communication framework. We explained how it works, but a small thing you need to do is to activate your service. So after saving it, you still need to activate. So that's a bit tricky.
Yeah. Also do that after transporting, or?
And do that after transporting.
Okay, so per system.
Maybe also one more thing to mention is that by having a new service in the internet communications framework, you also need to check for some do security checks for cross-site scripting, SQL injection, whatsoever. Mm. So depending on how you use the input, you need to check this.
It's a famous thing. If somebody would do some weird characters like, I don't know, like I have an clean table kind of thing, then you avoid those kind of...
You need to be aware of this being entirely possible because, you know, it's just a web service, so everyone could possibly call it. If he has.
Funny joke about university calling a father asking, why did you call your son something drop table?
Something like that. Also cross-site scripting with some JavaScript code where you send the browser into an endless loop or something would be also possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Then we mentioned the performance, so you have to be careful with your queries. And what to do, because we will be called every time.
If you want fast results. Or if you provide suggestions. You could also imagine only providing a result page being executed when you press enter or whatsoever.
But I think the quick result list is pretty usable. So makes sense. Anything else? No. I don't know, we can go to video more, can we? Better not today. Good. Then, that's it, I think. Thanks a lot. And hope you also like it and consider it for your users. I think it can add a lot of value. And thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.
For building that and talking about it. Huh? Bye.
Welcome. Bye.
Okay.